Satan's Final Deceptions. Commentary for the June 3, 2023 Sabbath School Lesson. By Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Then I saw three impure spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Revelation 16:13. An adage, a lie can travel around the world and back again, while the truth is lacing up its boots, is attributed to many different sources in slightly different wordings. In today's world, with the rapid spread of lies and false conspiracies through social media and amateur video productions, that certainly seems true. But is it a harbinger of the end times? The prophet Daniel, when writing of the end times, said, "Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Some equate the running to and fro with the increase in the speed and scope of travel in our day. We went from riding horseback to landing on the moon in less than a century. For thousands of years prior, the speed of a horse galloping at approximately 40 miles per hour was the fastest land travel available. Now, bullet trains and some automobiles are capable of speeds of 200 miles per hour or more. The appearance of prophetic fulfillment seems to ring true, but others point out that this reference could refer to scanning to and fro over the lines of a scroll in search for answers. The statement that knowledge will be increased implies that those answers will be forthcoming. We no longer read from scrolls. Even books are gradually being replaced by electronic media. It is easier now to run to and fro with cross-referencing from a global database than I could ever have imagined as a child, when research was done in libraries and referencing was done using a card catalog. But the technological advances can themselves be problematic. With so much information at our fingertips, how do we sort through it all? How do we make it germane to our lives? Some rely on influencers to sort it all out for them. They will spend hours upon hours watching influencer videos while doing little on their own to sort through data the influencer circle has not considered. But there are thousands of influencers. How do people decide which influencers to give their precious time to? Often they are drawn to those influencers who are presenting a perspective their audience already half believes. Confirmation bias then sets in, seeking reinforcement of the correctness of a particular perspective. The Bible warns us to be careful here. We are told there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. We may feel something is right in our hearts, but we are also warned to be careful with what the heart wants. The prophet Jeremiah said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" The danger is amplified when, despite the deceit, we find it hard to abandon a position we are emotionally invested in. Like a drowning person, we grasp at every bit of flotsam floating by in a desperate effort to remain afloat ourselves, despite the contrary currents swirling around us. This is our nature, and the devil knows it. He knows how to use it to his advantage. After all, he invented the lie. He was skillful enough to use it as a tool to sway a third of the angels of heaven to his cause. We should certainly not expect him to abandon such a useful tool during the end times when it matters most. Much of his work is based on a lie he perpetrated at the very beginning of humanity's experience. God told us that if we were not careful, we would die. But the devil said, "Not really." And because the devil's lie appealed to our desires more than God's warning, we succumbed to his sophistry. Even though billions have died since, we still do all we can to avoid admitting we were lied to. We continue to believe that no one really dies. We may believe they go immediately to heaven or hell, despite the Bible saying that when they die, their thoughts perish. And they do not praise the Lord, something I would expect the dead to do profusely if they ascended to heaven. As a side note, I have attended many funerals, and despite how wicked the person may have been in life, the preacher never praised them into hell. All, even the most profligate, are said to be enjoying the blessings of heaven since they died. While there is no biblical basis for this, I believe such preachers are more interested in currying favor with the relatives of the deceased than in speaking the truth. Some may ask, why is this even important? Just let the dead lie in peace. It is important because it is a false foundation that gives us ghosts and spirits. After all, if they are still living, is it not reasonable to think that they may try to communicate with us? We miss them so, and our hearts lead us to believe a lie because we want it to be true. But the selfish nature of such a desire reveals its false foundation. Do we really think it would be heaven for our deceased relatives to witness all the trials and suffering the living continue to experience? There are so many tragedies that happen in life that I think would be a nightmare for someone in heaven to witness happening to those they love. I believe even God, who does see, weeps at our heartaches. Another lie perpetrated by the devil is that what day we declare holy each week does not matter. This is a more recent lie, but it is like a wine that has fermented for almost 2,000 years until much of the world is drunk on the toxic spirit. In the beginning, God gave the Sabbath as a gift of grace to mankind, a symbol of his love for us. We had done nothing to earn it since we had just been created. This is such a crowning act of grace that the devil has done all he can to abolish it. Many are told that the Sabbath is legalism, but the Sabbath predates the commandment. The commandment testifies to that. It says, remember, indicating that the Sabbath gift has been forgotten. And then it points back to the end of that creation week in Genesis as the origin of the gift. Throughout the history of Christianity, a small remnant have enjoyed the blessings of that gift, but the majority have substituted Sunday to replace the Sabbath blessing. This is problematic because there is no command to observe Sunday found anywhere in the Bible, nor is there any indication that Sunday has any sort of special blessing or holiness attached to it. Instead, it arose along with growing anti-Semitism in Christianity's early centuries, and the eventual outlawing of all practices deemed Jewish in the 4th century. There are several reasons for this, all founded in the animosity between Jews and Christians. One factor was the Romans persecuting the Jews, so the Christians wanted to distance themselves from the Jews to avoid persecution. However, Nero made it evident that was not necessarily protective. Another cause of the anti-Semitism was the Christians failing to support the Jews when they revolted against Rome in the early 2nd century. A third factor that went back to the experience of John the Baptist and Jesus was the ongoing persecution of Christians by the Jewish priesthood. All of these are significant reasons for changes that took place. But they deny the faith of Jesus, who did not alter his message to avoid persecution, but embraced the persecution. He admonished us to take up that same cross. Instead, we tend to compromise our way out of trouble. This is a broad path that many follow, believing it to be the right path and taking comfort that so many are on the same path, so it must be right. But Jesus pointed out that the narrow path, which few follow, is the correct one. If we are looking around to see what everyone else is doing before deciding for ourselves, we are not seeking that narrow path. For the Christian, the Bible is the only confirmation we need for our direction in life. Through the ages, many have died as martyrs in confirmation of that belief. We like to think that we would also stand true like those martyrs. But when we allow others to compel us to follow them in practices never taught in Scripture, our actions testify against us. I have read the Bible through from cover to cover more times than I can count, and every time I came away with a deeper understanding of God's loving character and a deeper willingness to follow Christ's example. I know it would do the same for each of us. Sadly, few do that. They remember a few key proof texts from a devotional they read or a sermon they heard, while the great sea of wisdom in the Bible remains unexplored. Now for the question you may have been dying to ask, dear reader, or dear listener. What has this to do with three frogs? Those three frogs are the manifest result of denying the authority of Scripture as a whole. In the 19th century, those three frogs were thought to represent the papacy, Spiritism, and apostate Protestantism. This was a time of severe anti-Catholic sentiment following Irish Catholics immigrating to the United States. Interest in seances and communicating with spirits of the dead was popular. Protestantism was in denial regarding Christ returning physically. This was a milieu for assigning meanings to the symbolic frogs back then. However, in present context, we might just as well see them as symbolizing, croaking out the messages of dominionism, triumphalism, and nationalism. Whichever definitions we find in the symbolism, one fact remains. The only safety from deception is to be constantly immersed in the Bible, allowing its living waters to wash over and into us daily. After over 7 decades of life and countless times reading it through, I have never come away without something new to shed further light on what I learned before. Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find the written version of this podcast, along with all the scripture footnotes supporting the ideas shared here, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can find hundreds more commentaries and podcasts at that location as well. May God richly bless you and your family.